chapter 3 tonight. What a sweet service we had this morning. My goodness, Lord, what a blessing. What a great time we had. I'm still rejoicing over that Rwandan fella getting saved this morning, and I've just been overjoyed with that. And I think it's those kinds of things that help us, encourage us in our work for the Lord. And so I invite you to find in your Bibles 1 Corinthians chapter 3, one verse for our thoughts, message tonight. Stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And a passage of Scripture that is, and begin in verse 1, the verses following this, there's so much that we've preached on before, but I just want to focus in on verse 9 tonight. And Paul says this, "For we are laborers together with God." Now mark that down. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Very interesting way to look at that. But we're going to see how that may come into play and help us understand what God wants us to know tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for our church family. Pray special Brother Donald and in the hospital. Thank you for a good report this evening. Thank you, Lord, for healing. We ask, Lord, that you be with him, be with Janet, be with their families, Lord. As those that are home tonight, those not feeling well, those who are recovering from tests and procedures and surgeries, continue to strengthen and bless each one. Lord, we look forward to everybody being back here at the same time very soon. And so, Lord, just bring healing upon each one. Now, Lord, I pray in these few moments we have together on this Sunday night that you'll encourage us and challenge us and help us as we look into your word. We may be challenged through the truth, and may it be a blessing to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated. It's very interesting that Paul uses this analogy of description in verse 9 to describe our relationship and our work with the Lord. He says that, first of all, we're laborers together. We've talked about that, and we're going to talk about the importance of that in just a moment. But he also talks about the fact that you are God's building. Now, that to me, that's a really strange way to look at this. You know, throughout Scripture, we see analogies of talking about spiritual growth. And Paul and David and the Psalms, many of the other prophets and many of the other writers of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will use analogies of a garden or a vine. Jesus would actually use that one as well. Vine and branches. And trees and so forth. But Paul uses, he refers to that, you're God's husbandry. I guess that could come into play in that part of it. But when he says that you're God's building. Now, I always contend that the church is not a building. This building could burn down tonight, and White Plains Baptist Church would still be going strong. Man, I just believe that. Thank God for our building. I don't want it burned down tonight. But a building is just materials put together, formed, and materials that are used to build us a wonderful, beautiful place to worship the Lord. But when Paul says that you're God's building, and when he says that we're laboring together with God, there's something that we've got to understand, and I'm giving you a thought here tonight. Are you building in your work with the Lord, in your walk with God, or are you just maintaining? Now, there's a difference. We're going to see that difference. We're going to do it. We're approaching a very critical time of year, as we mentioned this morning. One of our dear folks, as was going out this morning, was thanking me for the message and said, "Preacher, he read that there are more suicides in the last 6 weeks of the year than any other time put together. More suicides." And I thought, that's tragic. That really is tragic. And he also, somebody also told me that they were reading that the amount of time that people spend visiting doctors for depression-related issues and problems escalate more in the last 6 weeks of the year than all the rest of the year put together. You know, so forth. And in fact, when we talk about what's one of the songs we hear that this time of year, this is the most wonderful time of the year, you know, and that should be it. But for a lot of folks, it's not. Now, with that being said, as a child of God, because of our faith, because of our love for the Lord, because what we know is right in our lives and what God has for us, there is still that part that we must understand as a Christian. That in our walk with God, we must understand and ask ourselves this question. Is our life building upon the things in our life for the Lord? Or have we slipped into maintenance mode? Have you ever had your computer shut down on you when you didn't want it to shut down? And when it comes back up, there's, if you have a Windows generated program, Scott, it's called safe mode. Yeah, one of those things called safe. So it gives you a choice. You could come up in safe mode or normal mode. And there's another one they need to add to it. It's like shoot it mode, you know. That's the one that you want. Scott, you ought to write that program in there for us, brother. And but, you know, sometimes we are comfortable getting in safe mode. We in our walk with the Lord, in our service for God, in our lives, in our daily activities, and all the things we do, sometimes we don't want to be the building God wants us to be. We don't understand that God has called us to labor together. Many times we just want to pull back in safe mode, or as little truck drivers used to say, pull her down in neutral and coast a while. Now, I don't think God wants us to coast, and I don't think He wants us to live in safe mode, and I certainly don't think He wants us just to live in maintenance mode. So there's a few thoughts that I want to help you with tonight that I believe if we could give us an honest assessment of our lives. And as we approach this very critical time of year, I think it's a time where we can evaluate where we are as a Christian. What is it that God is doing to us? And in my way of introduction, let me give you this. I think the greatest danger that we as Christians face, and you face in any part of your life, teenagers, this is for you, young adults just starting out, this is for you, senior adults in retirement, this is for you. There's a danger called complacency. And that is that where you just get to where you're just floating along, like you really don't care, you know? And you're like the tune we used to sing at camp, row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And many times, if you allow complacency to run your life, you're just like the little row, row, row your boat going gently down the stream, and you really don't care where you end up, you know. Sad to say, many times that's what happens to our marriages, that's what happens to our families, that's what happens to our churches. And it destroys everything that we've built for years. And then for some reason, the devil leads us into the lie that we ought to just pull her down in neutral. We ought to coast a while and go back down to safe mode and just be complacent and just let it all happen the way it's going to happen. And we do nothing for God. We accomplish nothing in our lives. We have nothing to show for the last several years because all we're doing is just floating down the stream. Now, how can we avoid complacency? How can we avoid a life of just maintaining? I am convinced that God has more for us than we really understand. I believe God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. I believe God wants to do things in our church than more than all of us want to do put together. I'm convinced of that. But it's too easy to be complacent. It's too easy to live in safe mode. It's too easy to just maintain. As your pastor, as your leader, and all of our leaders, we should never ever be satisfied with just maintenance mode. We should always be seeking to build upon what God has already done and then what God wants to do. I'm going to give you five things this evening that's going to help us. Five areas that will help us focus on this area that will... These are just notes. I've been sitting there and I just typed these on paper and I didn't put them down in organized sermon format. So if you don't call my homiletics professor at Tennessee Temple and don't tell him, I appreciate it. He's in heaven, by the way. So if you get a hold of him, bless your heart. All right, number one, it has to do with vision. It has to do with a vision. Vision for the future. Now, you young people, I know that many times it's hard to think about beyond the next few weeks of final exams or football season or whatever season you're in. It's hard to think about that. Sometimes you think about college. Sometimes you're thinking about life after school and marriage or so forth. And sometimes you think about that. But for us as adults, we need to help our young people focus on a vision for the future. But we also need to keep our vision for the future as well. Now, to help determine if you're in building mode or maintaining mode, you ask yourself this question. Do I have a vision for what God wants to do in my life, my church, my family, for what he wants to do in the future? Or am I just hoping to make it through the week? Now, don't raise your hand because I'm going to raise it for all of us. But we've all been there. Bless God. We all have the times where, Lord, if you just help me make it through this week, I'll be happy. And sometimes it's make it through this day. Right? We all been there. We know what it's like. We're overwhelmed with life. We've got stuff that's just, and we just want, but listen, if we live in that kind of mode, that we just want to make it through the week, what it will do will destroy your vision for what God has for you. Proverbs says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm convinced that we need to, as much as we believe that Jesus is coming back and could come back today, we also know the truth that Jesus may not come back until another generation's over. So what are we going to do in between? I don't think that God wants us to sit up over here and hold hands and hum kumbaya and just wait for the rapture to take place. I believe he wants us to have a vision for what he wants to take place. What is your vision for this church? What is the vision for your family? What is the vision for your personal walk with God, your life? Where do you want to be 2 years from now, 5 years from now? Too many times we are content, and churches are notorious for being complacent. They just want to make it through the week. And when life happens and things get hard and it's difficult to put it all in perspective, sometimes that's the easiest thing to do. Pull it down in neutral. Coast a while. Let's just maintain. But if you live in the idea of just making it through the week, you'll lose your vision. And you'll miss the blessings of what God has in store for you. I don't know if this is true. I have found nothing in the Word of God to back this up. But I had an old evangelist come to our church many years ago. I was a student at Tennessee Temple. I was home for college. And we were having a revival meeting. And he said, I don't know, but I just have the idea that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a section of heaven that's all these storage buildings with all these boxes of unused blessings that God was willing to pour out on his people, but we never asked. We never had enough faith to trust him. And the things that God wanted to do in our lives, he couldn't do it because we were too wrapped up in ourselves, just trying to make it through the week. I don't know if that's true. Scott, I can't find it in the Word of God. Gary, I can't find anything in the Bible to back that up. But you know what? I believe God wants more in our lives than we can imagine. Notice the second thing. Not only has to do with vision, but it has to do with learning. Learning. If you're in a building mode, then you are one that wants to continue to learn. Learn from the Word of God. Be a student of the Word of God. That's why we need to be in church whenever we can. We need to study. We need to learn. I haven't found anybody yet. I had the privilege of John Bagwell and I spent some time with Dr. Weaver a couple Sunday nights ago and took him home after the accident out here and in his office, in his workshop, and stacks of books and everything else. And even at his age, he's still writing and still teaching and still learning. And he gave John and I a couple books and I've just been enjoying reading through that. I can't wait to. I told him I was going to get on his mailing list. I want some more of his books. And he told me, he said, I've never stopped learning. Never stopped learning. Well, you know, if a man of God who's been in the ministry longer than I've been alive can feel like that he needs to keep on learning. Boy, I got a long way to go. And I think we all do. I think we've all got something to learn, but we're blessed here in this church with many school teachers and administrators that work in our school system. And I know that they have to keep learning and keep up with the latest and continuing education. And they encourage their teachers to continue to learn and continue to build and continue to grow. Because if you're not learning, then you're stagnant. Nobody wants to be a stagnant pool of water in the backyard in the bird bath, you know? Yuck, that's that yunky, gunky water that just been there since Christmas, you know, of last year. You know, nobody wants to be that. Now, the question you need to ask yourself, am I continuing to learn? Am I making myself, on purpose, being a student of learning what God has for me to learn? That means learning the Bible. That means learning about people, learning about ministry, learning about how to be a part of things, how to jump in there. Young people, let me encourage you something. What you think you might want to do the rest of your life, that may not be what you end up doing. And so you need to get in there and try a few things. You say, well, I don't know if I'll like it. You never know till you try. It's like banana pudding. You're not sure if you like it. Well, you never know till you try. Who knows? It may be your favorite dessert when you get through. Amen? But you got to try some things. You got to get out there and learn. And listen, none of us are ever too old to stop learning. We've got to continue to grow in our learning, grow in our faith. You say, preacher, I'm not educated. I'm not talking about getting, if you want to go get a degree, go ahead and get you a degree. But just get yourself some knowledge. And by the way, you can't learn everything on Facebook. Just, you know, bless your heart. If that's the expanse of your knowledge of the world and everything else, you really got a long way to go. But you ask yourself this question, am I continuing to learn? That determines if you're in building mode or if you're in a maintaining mode. Now, what are we learning as a church? We've learned a lot lately. We've learned a lot in the last few months and last few years. What about your family? What about your walk with God? There's number three. Number three. It has to do with faith. Faith. Now, here is where you begin to determine if you're really in the mind to build for the Lord, or if you're just going to be in safe maintenance mode. Faith. What is it about faith? We spent series of messages on faith, but let me just, are you willing to trust God with everything in your life? That's faith. Fully relying on Him. Just give it all to Him, and it's all His, and it's not you, and it's all about faith. Now, is your faith increased, or is your faith declining? That determines whether you're in a building mode or a maintenance mode. Are you continuing today to trust God more than you did 6 months ago? Have you been determined and learned things and growing in such a way that your faith is pushed to the test? I'll never forget sitting with my pastor many years ago. As a student at Tennessee Temple, I came home during my breaks, and I'd work at the church in North Carolina. Middle of the night, we got one of those calls. We found ourselves at the hospital with a precious family whose lives had been turned upside down. And basically, they looked at my pastor and they said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do anymore. My pastor just very kindly and graciously, as was his wonderful gift, just said, all you can do is trust God, because that's what God wants you to do right now. You know, we act like that when we live by faith, and if we're going to trust God with faith, and that's all we got, that somehow that's the last straw. People act like praying's the last straw. We do everything else to try to work it out. If that doesn't work out, we ask God, well, now we're going to pray. I think we got that switched. I believe it is pray and just trust God from the beginning. If you want to determine and find out if your life is maintaining or if it's building and moving forward for God, how is your faith? If everything that you had was taken away from you, would you still trust God? It's a tough question. But God wants you to trust Him whether you've got anything or whether you've got everything. And our finances, our material possessions, our relationships should not determine how much faith we have in God. Our faith should be totally, completely in Him no matter what. And when we get to the point where we don't have enough faith to trust Him today, then that's when we need to get down on our knees and say, God, I am sorry. Forgive me for failing to trust You. That's a sin, by the way. And ask God to increase your faith. Ask God to strengthen your faith. You're going to need it, by the way. You're going to need it in days where you don't have the answers. You're going to need it when everybody else tells you different things of what you ought to do, where you ought to go, and how you ought to handle it. And you're sitting there going, well, who do I listen to? Maybe we ought to start listening to God more than we listen to everybody else. So to determine if your life is moving forward, to determine if your life is building for God, how's your faith? Dr. Lee Robertson was one of the greatest pastors, preachers, mentors, and as he led Highland Park Baptist Church in those days to build the great Tennessee Temple University and schools that today have thousands and hundreds of thousands of graduates that have circled the globe in the last 60 years. Toward the end of Dr. Robertson's life, he shared with one of his closest friends, he said, I just wish I'd had more faith. When Dr. Sexton shared that, it is with some of us preachers, he said, you know, that was amazing because here's a man who wrote books on faith, who preached great sermons on faith, who demonstrated faith in leading this great church and great university for so many years, and yet even he felt like he should have had more faith. Ask God to strengthen your faith. Don't be satisfied with just making it through the day. Let me give you number four. We're going to just give you five tonight. Number four. It's all about growth. Is there visible growth in your life, or is your life static? Are things happening in your life that you could look to and say, praise God for what He's done? Maybe it's an answer to prayer. Maybe it's a step of faith that you went out and God blessed it and God used it and now you're moving forward. Or do you look at your life and say, well, there's not much, a whole lot different than it was 2, 3, 5 years ago. I've had people tell me they've been in church for many, many years. Nothing really changes. Except the participants who come in and out. And I thought, that's pretty sad. That's a pretty sad way to describe your spiritual life. By the way, it wasn't anybody in this church. Let me tell you that. Okay? So, just so you'll know. But it's sad that people look at their Christian life and they say that the only thing really changes are the people who come in and out through the building through the years. Nothing really changes. I was so encouraged last year when I went back to preach homecoming at the church founded by my great-great-grandfather. And I was shared with my family. Many of them, that was the first time they had been there. And my kids. And I was telling them, I said, you see that fellow that's standing at the back greeting folks? He was my Sunday school teacher when I was in the third grade. Wow. Did they have Sunday school books back then? Yeah, I'm going to make you walk home. That's what I'm going to do. I said, you see that fellow sitting on the end of the choir? He was my RA director. He was one of the first men that I remember explaining the gospel. I was just in the second grade. Didn't understand all of it, but I remember him doing it. Still there. Still there. And I'll never forget one of the guys that come, and I don't like to talk during the offering. Can't stand when people talk during the offering. Vicky, nobody should talk during the offertory. I apologize to you for anybody who disrupts sanctuary during the offering. That's a time of worship. But I had to lean over to my dad that morning. And during the offering, there was a fellow who come up front to take the offering. And one of the first memories I had in that church as just a little boy is Brother Roger. With his Sunday school book stuck in his back overalls, walking forward and taking the plate and passing the plate. Now that was 40-something years ago. And that morning, Brother Roger's still ushering and still taking the offering. Still faithful. Guess what, Joe? He's still got his Sunday school book stuck in his back pocket, his overalls too. And I'm sitting there, that's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And that's people who are seeing visible growth in their life. And that is people who are faithful to the Lord and staying with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and have nothing to show for it. I don't want to get to stand before the Lord and say, Lord says, well, what'd you do with what I gave? I don't know. I just showed up. Went home. I think there's more than that. And I think you ought to be able to look at your life, and just like we watch our kids grow up and get taller and mature and develop, and I think we also be able to, as Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There will be visible signs of your growth in the Lord. There will be things about your life that you can look at and say, yep, that's it. That brings me to number five. This is the last one for tonight. It's all about goals. It's all about goals. I think Paul had goals. I think Paul's goal for all the churches he started was those churches would be thriving congregations, reaching the people. I think he had a goal to preach and reach every person he could. I think Paul had a desire to see every man, woman, boy, girl come to know Christ, no matter what. He gave his very life for it. What are your goals? If you don't have goals, if you're not continuing to move forward, and then you're not building, you're just maintaining. And if you're not moving forward, then you're stuck in a rut. Now, that terminology goes back way back to the Western days of wagons and wagon wheels when there were no paved roads. Yes, young folks, there were no paved roads. And when it rained and muddy and they didn't dry out and get hard, and those wagon wheels would create ruts in the roads. I know this because people have told me this. I wasn't alive then, but I read about it. Ain't y'all ever watched Gunsmoke? Okay, all right, now, you understand. There you go, Gunsmoke. And wagons would create wagon ruts. And if the ground hardened up, those ruts were there. It wouldn't get soft again until it rained again. And those ruts would just keep on going. You can get your wheel in a rut, and sometimes if it's deep enough, it's hard to get out. You can't get out of a rut sometimes. Once you stay in a rut long enough, you're just comfortable staying in a rut. One person said, actually a rut is really just a grave with both ends knocked out of each other. That's pretty deep rut right there. Now, is your life in a rut? You do the same thing. That's why I tell folks, I told you, I said, don't think that we're going to do the same thing every week the next few weeks. Pay attention. Keep your calendar. Keep your bulletin. Listen up. Something may change. We might want to do something different. But it comes about setting goals. Whether you're building or whether you're just maintaining. Whether you're moving forward for God or you're just stuck in a rut. You can help to understand it by asking yourself, what are my goals? What do you really want to accomplish? Is there anything you want to accomplish except just get through the day? Is there something that you are just seeking God and say, God, I believe that I've got a desire to do something. God, if you'll help me, I want to do this. It's going to be hard, maybe long. I'm going to have to sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up some things. But I've got a goal to reach this goal. God, if you'll help me, I want to do it. That's a person who's building in their life. But a person that's just maintaining and neutral and in maintenance mode is someone who doesn't have any goals. They have nothing going on in their life. There's nothing they want to accomplish. What is it that one fella said? If you don't have any goals, it's like not having a target and going out to shoot. If you go out and shoot and don't have a target, guess what? You'll hit it every time. You just shoot. It's just random. But have a goal. Have a target to look forward to. Have something that you want to accomplish. And a God-given goal that when it's over, you can give Him the glory for what's been accomplished. That's something that only he can do. There may be others, even in your own family, say you can't do it. You won't ever accomplish that. Just say, well, if that's what God wants me to do, that's what I got to do. Listen, folks, this is important in the life of our church. Because I don't want our church to be in maintenance mode. I don't want us to be in safe mode. I don't want us to bring it down in neutral and just coast and go floating down the river, merrily, merrily, life is but a dream. I really don't. I don't plan to spend the rest of my ministry just floating down the river. I believe with God's help that we could take these things tonight and we could use them to help focus and say, God, in the coming weeks and in the coming months, what is it you want us to do? I've got the rest of this I'm going to share with you next Sunday night. Let me close with this. Let's don't get stuck in a rut, but do this tonight. God can speak to you. God can lead you if you allow him to do so. You don't have to be satisfied. You don't have to be sitting here going, well, it's going to be another holiday and we're going to have a dinner, we're going to have a play, we're going to have a candlelight service and we're all going to be dead tired before it's over with. And no, I'm not content with that. I believe God's got more for us than that. I believe God's got more for that for you in your life. I believe he's got more of that for your walk with God. Notice what he said. He said, you are God's building. A building's got to be built. There are things that got to keep going. But listen, if you just want to maintain it, you can be like a building I drove by earlier today. I was driving on a road and I turned and looked and almost missed it. And I was praying about this message this week and I was working on this and I thought to myself, that's exactly it. I guess it was once a beautiful house. It looked like it could have been a beautiful house. It's big. I mean, it was brick, and it was right off the main highway, and it had a good piece of property with it. As I drove by, what caught my attention, I'd never seen it before, was that not only was it obvious that nobody lived there, but it was obvious that nobody done anything there in a long time. What once were little trees and bushes had now become big trees and big bushes. What once was grass, was small grass, was now big grass. Now where you couldn't tell where the trees and the bushes started and stopped, and now it almost covered the house. And in fact, if you didn't look hard enough, you probably would miss that the house was even there. And I got to thinking, why didn't somebody keep that up? Why didn't somebody move forward? Why didn't somebody keep it updated? Why didn't somebody just, if they didn't do anything, just cut the grass? They did not listen. They were got lost. They got beyond maintenance mode. They pulled it down lower than neutral. They just quit. That's what happens. Your life, that if you pull it down and just be in maintenance mode long enough, your life will be just absolutely quit, where you'll end up like that beautiful home that once was years ago. Now you drive by and all you see is just overgrown trees and bushes and things. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't venture even walking in that place, because there's probably things in there that you wouldn't want to find. And too many times we allow our lives, our families, and even our churches to become just that. Because we got out of building mode. We got out of having our faith and our goals, our vision and our learning. We got away from all of that. And before you know it, people driving by, and they don't even see us anymore because it's all grown up. There's nothing there. Don't let your life be that way. Don't let your family be that way. Don't let your church be that way. Live for God. Let's keep building. Would you stand with me, please? Father, in Jesus' name, as we come to a close of another wonderful day of worship, another day of service, another day of blessings, Lord, it's just been so good. Lord, I know there is so much that you have for us. We can get busy and caught up in all the busyness and the things of life, and next thing we know, we realize it's all gone and our time is over. We've accomplished nothing. Lord, let that not happen to us. I believe there are so many wonderful things you have in store for us. our families, individuals, these young people and their lives ahead, these young adults and Lord, our senior adults in the prime of their life. Lord, there's so much more that you have for all of us. Weren't true, we wouldn't be here. Our church. Oh, I look forward to what you have for us in the days ahead. I rejoice in the faithfulness of God's people in the past, but look forward to the faithfulness of God's people now. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use us for your glory. Now, Lord, as we leave from this place tonight, I know there are many things on our hearts and our minds. I know there's things that would distract us and discourage us. But Lord, let us keep our focus on you, as we said this morning. And Lord, let us take and apply the things we've learned here tonight. God, you're building in our lives. We are your building. And you're doing things to accomplish your will for us. Lord, I pray that your will would bring honor and glory to your name. And everything that's said and done, Lord, we just want to praise you for it. Bless us through this week, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, have a great week.